I hope that you got the cream of the crop. What a blessing to have a man of God like Brother Logan Buchanan to be your pastor. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that because he's my friend. It goes deeper than that. I say it out of my heart. Thank God. There's not a lot of men of God in this day. There's a whole lot of men with Bibles, but there's not a whole lot of men of God. And everything that's got a Bible ain't a man of God. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, for the messenger you have in this place. I was thinking coming out the road today about how people are struggling. There's a struggle in this day of people trying to get their head around all that's going on with this disease that's going on and everything else, and a lot just upsetting people in this day. But I'm glad, thank God, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm glad I'm serving a risen Savior. And I don't have to tell you that. You know that. If you know anything about God, you know that the Lord is very much alive. And I praise His name for that. I'm glad, thank God, that He rose that third and appointed morning for our justification. And I'm just going to wobble around here in a minute till the Lord tells me, and we'll just obey Him. And I learned a long time ago it's not in me. If He don't come and help me tonight, there won't be nothing said that'll help anybody. And I don't want to just give you a sermon. I want to bring you a message if that's what God wants. And but I'm glad, thank God, that every once in a while, I was down at the airport several years ago, and I was watching them airplanes come and go. And I was watching, I mean, little airplanes, big airplanes. I don't know much about flight. I know I'm afraid of it. But I was standing there watching, and I realized that there wasn't none of them pilots, as good as they were or as experienced as they were, Brother Logan, taking off at their own will. They were waiting for a command from the tower that said, you can go now.
That's right.
And there wasn't none of them landing until somebody gave them permission to land. Oh, I would to God that we could get that in our hearts and in our churches. That there's a heavenly tower, and thank God He's on the horn. If you'll listen, you'll hear Him speaking to us in a still small voice. Now everybody on the plane don't hear the tower.
That's right.
The only one that hears it's the pilot, maybe the co-pilot. But I'm glad, thank God, that there is a tower in heaven, and He's given us what we need. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. I love the book of Ephesians. It's a blessing to my heart. I believe that we ought to pick a book and master it, and thank God, try our best to study it and get all the goody out of it we can. I've tried to do that with the book of Ephesians. Now, if I fall on my face tonight, you'll say, well, he ain't studied it much, but thank God for the Bible. The Word of God will stand when everything else has failed. And you and I about as well just hold on to it. It's the only true thing there is that'll help us. Thank God. We can't bank on the Democrats or the Republicans. We can't bank on what's going on in Washington or Raleigh. But what we can bank on is what's going on in heaven. And if we can figure out what's going on there, I believe it would change us on how our attitude is here. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
I believe, thank God, we're living way below our potential as children of God. I think that we forgot who we are. Now, I know that we're a humble people. We don't want to be pride-filled. I get that. We want to be a humble people. And we want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and what the Lord would have us to do. But if we ever realize who we are and where we're going, it'll change our outlook on our day-to-day life. And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight, if the Lord will help me for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15. You found your place there. Stand with me, if you will. He says in Ephesians 1, 15, he said, if you've got a King James Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I knew that that's all you had. Thank God. Hey, something that's the most precious thing you'll hold in your hand this week.
That's right.
Is that King James Bible. It is the Word of God. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and give Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, and the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the portion of Scripture You've directed our hearts to. I thank You, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. I pray, God, for just a few moments that You would tabernacle among us and help us, Lord, I pray tonight. Hide us in the cross and help us, Lord, to say that You would be pleased with. Touch each heart that's in this place. May we leave this place with our spirits encouraged and our hearts finding help. God, we cast ourselves at Your feet, Lord, asking to be used of You. God, I realize unless it's all in vain, unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes around here and helps us tonight. God, I'm glad, Lord, that You are a God of help. You are a God of comfort. You are our very present help in the midst of trouble. And I'm glad, Lord, we're clinging to You tonight, asking You, God, to help us now. Touch our brethren that's standing all across this nation tonight, bearing the precious Word of God. I pray, God, that You'd touch them and use them in this hour, and we'll praise and we'll thank You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, on called to higher ground. Called to higher ground. Now, I realize, thank God, that you and I, I'm not trying to get you to live in such a way. Somebody said one time, said, if we're not careful, we're going to get so heavenly minded, we're going to be no earthly good. I don't think that we've got much of that problem in this day. I think for the most part that most of us are so worldly minded, we're probably not much heavenly good. But you hear me tonight, thank God the Lord, through Apostle Paul, is writing out of this church at Ephesus. Now, to remind you that Paul had pastored these people for about 3 years, and later on he's going to write to Timothy. He's left Timothy there to set some things in order, and he's writing, thank God, to him to encourage him how to help these people. So this is a people that Paul had on his heart and on his mind, and he was wanting to be a help and encouragement to them. Ain't you glad, thank God, God sends by a man of God to give you some help and encouragement along the way. Somebody that will tell you the truth. Somebody, thank God, that loves you enough. Thank God to look you between the eyes and tell you what's right. And I thank God for that. I thank God for preaching. I don't know about you, but I like preaching. Ever since God saved me, I love preaching. And I didn't think much of preaching, thank God, when I was lost. I didn't like hearing. I didn't understand why anybody would pay the preacher and let him spit and slobber for 45 minutes and holler at him, thank God, give him all your money and then leave. That's what I thought as a lost man about church. But thank God, I'm glad one day the Lord came to where I was at and began to knock on my heart's door. And as a 19-year-old boy lost and undone, thank God, I'm glad living in a drunkard's home, raised by a drunk. Thank God, I'm glad the Lord passed by where I was at, and He wasn't looking, thank God, for a nice family to save. Thank God, I'm glad He had mercy on some old sinner boy, and He came to where I was at, and He brought me out. I think that I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Now Ephesians chapter 2 says, you hath He quickened who were dead. Amen. We were all right there in the morgue. And now when something's in the morgue, it's cold and lifeless. That's where I was at, cold and lifeless. But one day the Lord came to where I was at, and ye which were dead were quickened, thank God, by the Spirit of God, and He came in our heart and made us alive. Ain't that right? And now that I've been made alive, I want to, I think I'll do what He's called me to do and told me to do. Ain't that right? I want to live the way He wants me to live. Now, I failed at that miserably. Anybody else struggling with flesh in here?
Thank God. I'm going to tell you, thank God we've all got our battles, we all got our struggles. But you hear me tonight, I thank God the Lord wants us to come on up on the mountain where He's at. I thank God Moses led the people. I thank God that He called him to a higher place. Elijah, thank God, a fall of fire come down on a higher place. And thank God we're living in the valley. I thank God that God wants us to come up on the mountaintop and see what He has for us in these days. Amen. Notice first of all, verse number 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Haywood County, Yancey County, North Carolina. It don't even say that in a living Bible. Said He's blessed us and with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, God's trying to get us to realize, in order to receive the blessings He's got in store for us, I thank God we've got to realize who we are and rise, thank God, to the occasion. I thank God, I'm glad that the eagle does not. He said, thank God, we would run and not be weary walking up, mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. I thank God, God wants us to soar above what everybody else is thinking in. So He said, I want you to understand that He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now I understand, Brother Logan, what happened, I thank God, when He went back to the Father that day. When the blood was atoned, the blood was placed on the mercy seat in the Old Testament, it was an atonement. Ain't that right? That means God pushed off our sins for 1 year. That's the Old Testament. But when He comes to the New Testament, when He comes, thank God, you're not a lamb, but the lamb. He said, thank God, He's not an atonement. He's a propitiation. Amen. He is a living sacrifice. And He ever liveth to intercede for us. And thank God He's there for us today, not to put off our sin, but to forgive us of our sin completely. Amen. Is there any sin too bad that the Lord's blood can't cleanse? Now, I know there's a whole lot of people that put classifications on sin. And a lot of times we look around and we'll say, I don't know if they ain't gone too far. In Corinthians, he says over there, he says, some of you were adulterers, fornicators, drunkards, Amen. He says some of you were effeminate, and such were, high sense, some of you, but ye are washed. Ain't you glad, thank God, that God washed you? I'm glad, thank God, He cleansed me completely. He washed away all my sin. I washed away my conscience. And thank God gave me a clean conscience. See, it just didn't fix me spiritually, it fixed me mentally. Amen. And He forgave me. So we know that there's some blessings in those heavenly places that have to do with forgiveness. There's some blessings in those heavenly places that have to do with our residence of the future. Ain't that right? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. So that tells us that a place is being prepared. I don't know, thank God somebody said, well, it was already prepared. He said, I go to prepare. I thank God that leads me to believe He's working on it. And if He done all this in 6 days, what is that place going to look like after He's been over yonder for over 2,000 years of working on it? I thank God, I say bless His name. I'm somebody headed somewhere. And thank God you ain't to tell me I'm a nobody. I may be a nobody here, but I'm somebody there. Amen. So we know there's some blessings of salvation. There's some things going on in the workings of God, in the presence of God. Revelation tells us about those elders and those 420 elders and them crying, worthy and praise be unto the Lord and holy, 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 amen. But notice here what Paul says. He said He has blessed us. He's talking to the church. Are you part of the church? If you're born again, you're part of the church. He said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, what is a spiritual blessing? Now, down here, we're all the time worrying about, well, I come to get a blessing. I come to get picked up. I come to leave encouraged. I come to leave, thank God, with a spring in my step. And if somebody sings the right song, they hit the right note. If everything happens just exactly right, I thank God we can leave smiling, saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, if you come up on top of this mountain of God, I thank God, and see what God's done, so you can leave if nothing happens.
That's right.
With a spring in your step.
That's right.
Because of who you are.
Amen.
Now, Brother John Elkins, you don't mind me using you for an example, do you? Amen. He's a big boy. He used to work for the sheriff's department. He can take it. Amen. Now, he's a member of the Elkins family. I know because I went to school with some of them sorry brothers of his. I'm kidding. And I went to school with his brothers. And so I've known the Elkins family for a long time, since I was a little boy coming up in school. But you know what the Elkins name probably ain't never got you very far, has it? I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, I got the Massey name. I got part of the tractor, but none of the money. Amen. And so the Massey name didn't help me any. Amen. But I'll tell you what did help me that day that I got washed in the blood and became a child of God. And now I'm His and He's mine. And thank God He's set me, He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Amen.
When I don't feel like I'm getting blessed very much, well, maybe it's because you're not getting in the heavenly places. Now we know for a fact that Jesus took those disciples up on the mountain, Brother Logan, and in their presence transformed Himself, and I mean, it shook that crowd. I mean, Peter, he said, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three temples. Let us build three temples. Let's build one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He'd already got up, caught up in idol worship right in the midst of the Lord. God never wanted a temple built to Moses. If He had him, He wouldn't have buried him and hid His body. He hid His body because He knew that bunch of Hebrews would have built just like them Arabs over there now, built them mosques and do that in Mecca. They'd still been walking around that tomb if they had all got it. But God buried him, they knew not where. God had to hide their leader and bury him where they couldn't find him to get them to march on. Amen. Well, I'm getting a few head nods. Come on now. So we see that God wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So how in the world am I, and me in such a carnal state, going to get in tune with heaven to where I can experience those heavenly blessings down here in this wicked world? I would remind you, Jesus said in His prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's desire is to bless us down here, to treat us down here like He's going to one day up there. Now some of you think I've hit my head and gone crazy. But I'm going to tell you, thank God, I'm reading it to you out of the Bible. He wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Did you notice who's in these heavenly places? Well, in chapter 1, verse number 20. He said, "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." So God's wanting to bless us in the presence of His Son. At the Father's right hand. Amen. You say, "Well, I'm not getting what you're saying, preacher." Well, let me illustrate it like this. There was a king one day named David. Y'all remember David? One day, David's walking through the palace, and he says, God nudges his heart and says, "You need to see if there's anybody left of the house of Saul." And David begins to think and begins to dwell on it. And all it was customary when another king took over that all those king's children were slain. So he goes to the servant Ziba, who's a picture of the Holy Spirit, and he says to him, David being a picture of Christ, He says to him, is there any left of the household of David, or of the household of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And the spirit that Ziba says, there's one. Jesus would say it like this later on. Would he leave the 99 safe and full and go after one little lost lamb? Hallelujah. One son of Saul who had been crippled by a fall. His nurse had dropped him and he was crippled and he was totally dependent on somebody else. And David said, go. This is good mountain language. I didn't know David was a mountaineer. He said, go and fetch him. Amen. Hallelujah. And they went down there. Don't you know that down there in Lodibar, old Mephibosheth sitting down there broken from a fall, scared for his life, living in that low place. I mean, one day he was destined for the palace. But because of circumstances, now he's destined to die in a low place, in Lodibar. But there's a knock at the door. Hallelujah. I'm glad the king sent the servant calling. Do you remember when the king sent the Holy Ghost to knock on your door when you were in Lodibar? I thank God. And he knocked on that door and he said, I'm here. David has sent me to bring you back. Amen. And he carries him back to the palace. They bring him into the palace with the sentence of death hovering over him. Ain't that right? That is right. He's crippled. He's dependent on somebody else to carry him. He's looking for somebody to help him. I mean, he can't help himself. He's totally dependent. His whole existence, his whole eternity, his whole life is dependent on what that king does. But the king, thank God, does not mean to fetch him for harm. But he's brought him down there that he might show him kindness. Do you remember the day when the king showed you kindness? Thank God, when you didn't deserve it. When you was broken from the fall and everything was wrong in your life. But he sent the servant of the Holy Ghost to knock on your heart's door. And he brings him in there and he says, I'm going to treat you as one of my sons. He said, when we come to the table, you're going to have a place at the table. Now wait just a minute. Preacher, what's this got to do with what you were talking about? I'm talking about sitting together in heavenly places. I'm talking about rising above. What, do you realize whose table you're sitting at tonight? Do you realize who it is that's feeding you and clothing you and allowing you to live, move, and have your being? It's not you that's paying the bills. Without him, you won't be able to get the next breath of air. Amen. So he goes and he brings Mephibosheth in. And now Mephibosheth's sitting at the table. And Brother Logan, you preach this, and I've done so well at it. I thank God, I know I'm rehashing what he's already preached, but it's good to rehash. Amen. And so you may not be well off, and I'm not very well off. Sometimes we've got a tablecloth, sometimes we don't say amen. But I've seen a lot of them pictures of them fancy places. And they got a nice tablecloth on that table. And when he sits down at the table, don't miss this right here. When he sits down, the tablecloth falls across him. And you can't tell that there's ever been anything wrong with him. He's still just as broke. He's still just as big a mess as he always was. Thank God. He's still, thank God, just on Mephibosheth in the flesh. But thank God, in his spirit. Thank God, he's at the king's table. Thank God, in his presence, he's sitting in a place he didn't deserve. And now he's at the table. And the table spread has covered his problem. And thank God, he looks like all the other boys. Great God Almighty. I'm glad, thank God, for the day that he came to where I said, and he saved my soul, and now I'm just like all of God's youngest. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Well, he says we're seated, our blessings are at the right hand. That's where Jesus are. Now the writer says
that we're in Him.
Right.
Is that what your Bible says? Does your Bible teach that we're in Christ?
Yeah.
Well, if we're in Christ and He's at the right hand, where are we?
That's right.
I know naturally you're sitting in Mars Hill, but I'm trying to get you to go rise above and come up on the mountain with me and realize who you are and what potential you're getting. Amen. So physically you're sitting in Mars Hill, but if you're saved and you've been born again, you're sitting at God's table and you're at the right hand of the throne in Him.
Right.
You didn't do anything to get there. It's all of His mercy and all of His grace that got you to where you're at. But for God, you've still been in Lodibar. Amen. Well, I'm about to get a place for you to quit off and preach. Amen. Thank God. Notice here, He says that He is seated in the heavenly places. Well, I'm glad He's our preacher and our blessings are there and He's there, but where are we? Look at chapter 2, verse number 6. And has raised us. I'm glad I'm one of us. And has raised us up together and made us sit together. Some don't look to me like you got a choice in whether you sit at the table or not. Looks to me like once He redeems you, your place is at the table. I can't see, it don't say here, well, if you hang on and hold out, you can get to the table. It don't say that, Brother Logan. It says that we are seated together in Christ. So when you get there, you're not alone. And it ain't just a preacher thing. It's an ever-believer thing. The preacher is just a normal man with a supernatural call. God has a calling on these men that's different than everybody else. But they're saved just like you're saved. They fail just like you fail.
Yes, sir.
They think things they're not thinking just like you. I'm not going too far, am I? I'd say that most of us wouldn't want our mind put up on the wall what's went through there in the last 6 days. Anybody in here, I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or 55 years, you wouldn't want your mind, you wouldn't want that to go up on the wall.
Amen.
But regardless of what went through my mind, it does not change my position in Him. No preacher used to say like this, said you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're not supposed to think on these things. That's why He said, if there be any righteous, if there be any goodness, think on these things. Ain't that right? He tells us what we're supposed to be thinking. Why? Because we're not supposed to be thinking about this world, even though we're sitting at the world's table, eating lunch, maybe at Burger King.
Yeah. Right.
We're really sitting at His table and fellowshipping with Him.
Right. That's right.
Now, I don't know about you, Brother Don, but if me and you went to lunch tomorrow, we're sitting at McDonald's. I can afford McDonald's, can't you? Maybe if we eat off the dollar menu. Amen. And then we're sitting at McDonald's, and I call you and I say, Brother Don, I want you to meet me and let's eat lunch together. And I'll meet you there at 12. We show up at 12. We walk in the restaurant, order a food, sit there at the table and never speak to each other, get up and leave. If anybody's watching us, they're going to say, them two ain't very friendly to one another.
Right.
I don't even know why they were at the same table.
Amen.
But you know what I'm going to do if we go out to eat? I'm going to meet him. I'm going to say, hello, Brother Don. Hey, it's good to see you, buddy. And we're going to sit down. I'm going to say, how's your church doing? How's things going? How you feeling? And we're going to start
coming.
Amen. Ain't that right? And we're going to have a relationship through conversation. Amen. Now, when this is all over, he's going home to his wife and I'm going home to my wife. We're going back to our jobs. But while we're at the table, we're going to realize that this is an opportunity to fellowship with one another. Most people can't fellowship because they can't turn the cell phone off long enough.
Amen.
I've never seen a beat in my life. Go to families will go sit down at Cracker Barrel and you'll see five people sitting at the same table and they never speak.
Right.
Sit there and do this all the time.
Yeah.
All I can figure is they're racing through some kind of app race on the phone and they're all competing with one another. And they're sitting there and they don't have a conversation. There's no conversation. There's no relationship.
Amen.
And then they wonder why the homes are falling apart. And the marriages are falling apart. How long would you... I better leave that alone. I start to say, how long would you ladies stay with your husband if he didn't speak to you? For some of you, I would holler 20 years. I done been there. Anyway. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, when you're sitting at the table, you have an opportunity to fellowship.
That's right.
When I sit down at the table, I let my guard down.
Amen.
Don't you? I mean, you will talk to me about my family, we'll talk about my family. You will talk about the Lord's plan, we'll talk, whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about work, we'll talk about work.
Right.
I mean, whatever you want to talk about, we'll discuss. And we'll have a good conversation. And we'll leave knowing more about each other.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. Did you hear what I just said? When you get up from the table, you leave knowing more about Brother Don because of the time at the table.
Amen.
Let's go back and read this verse now again and apply it to our relationship. He said, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He's made us sit together.
Right.
Well, I don't like him. I don't like them. You don't like sitting in the presence of God? I just told you that He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated in Him positionally. So everything you say around the table, you're saying that in His ears. Brother Jeremy touched on it last night, and boy, it sprung up in my heart and in my mind, thank God, about the things we think we've got hid. God knows what's going on at your house. The preacher may not have a clue, but God knows. I've seen people fuss and just about cuss fight all the way to church, get out, straighten their tie, look at the preacher or one of the deacons, say, how you, brother? Amen. Now don't look at me surprised like you ain't ever had an argument with your spouse on the way to work or way to church. Now, some of you are grinning. Some of you are guilty as sin. Amen. Help us, Lord. But when we sit down together, we're sitting together in heavenly places.
Right.
Positionally in Him. So if we're positioned in Him, and our blessings are there in Him in spiritual places, I think that that's how we're going to retrieve those blessings.
Amen.
Well, I thought we was just supposed to hang on down here and just scream and holler and beg God to send it. No. You cry. Well, my kids are about grown now. Brother Logan's got babies. Such a blessing. Amen. My baby's turned 14 last week. Amen. And when they was little, I had a recliner sitting in the living room. And when Joshua and Hannah was little, they was, 4 years apart? Is that right? Where's my wife? So, yeah, she's nodding her head at me. 4 years apart. Glad I got that one right. Don't ask me what her birthday is. I'll be in a mess. Amen. But I'd come in from work and I'd sit down in that big old recliner. And I'd lean back and I'd think, boy, I'm just going to rest a little while. And Joshua would come up and he'd say, and he got to the place, he was big enough, he wouldn't even reach. He'd just climb up in me and get on that leg right there. It's probably why that knee shot. I bounced him for 5.5, 6 years on that knee. And I don't know what I'm talking about. So he's sitting there on that knee. His baby sister saw what was going on. Now this may be funny in your mind, but I've seen this happen in Baptist churches. Well, one was getting blessed by the Father and the other one got upset by it.
That's right.
I'm living better than them. Why ain't Father blessing me? Why ain't I getting that way? Could be you've not pulled up into His lap.
Amen.
Why don't you come up in His lap tonight? And when she'd crawl up, she'd pull up on the end of that recliner and she'd stand there and she'd say, up. That's all she'd say, up. And I'd leave him sitting here. I didn't put him down. I reckon God, because I wanted them to learn that Daddy's lap was big enough for all the youngins.
Yeah.
And I said this ain't a preacher thing, Brother John. I think our Father's lap's big enough for all the youngins.
Amen.
You want to crawl up in His lap? Come on, bless your heart. I thank God. Come and crawl up in His lap. Realize who you are positionally, where you're seated in Christ, and the blessings. Now, when my son and daughter would get there,
My boy of mine, he'd look at me and he'd say, "Daddy, can you take me fishing? Daddy, can we go coon hunting? Daddy, can we go to McDonald's and get some chicken nuggets?" How in the God's world am I going to tell him no, Brother Logan, and him loving on me that way?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? I'm using this simple little illustration of my family to try to get you to understand what God's wanting us to do. If you will crawl up in his lap, you say, "I can't get there." You ain't trying hard enough.
Amen.
If you get at his feet and start hollering, "Up! Up!
Yeah.
Up!" How many mamas and daddies wouldn't reach and get one of them youngins and them a doing it? You'd have to be cold-hearted and dead in your heart to not reach and get a youngin and them begging for you to pick them up. He said, "Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you." That means he'll pick you up and let you sit in his lap. I used to think some of them old men of God were just fanatics, Brother Logan. They talk about praying about everything. Pray about everything. Don't make any sense. Pray about everything. And I thought I was going to trick up Brother Milby one day. And I said, "Brother Milby," you know he likes them Cadillacs. And I said, "Brother Milby, you're driving down the road and you see a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, 2 years old, with hardly any miles on it, sitting in somebody's yard with a for sale sign for $6,000. And I said, "There's a man pulling in behind you and he's reaching for his wallet." I said, "Are you going to pray about it?" I hope I never do forget what that precious man of God said. He said, "Pray about all things, but sometimes you have to step on our face." Amen. And so what we're trying to get you to understand is as you walk by faith, I thank God, and you're praying and seeking God by faith, as you crawl up into his lap,
yep,
and you look up at him, and you say, "Boy, I'm looking around at all that you've got up here, Father. Look at the peace you have." Now see, you thought I was going to talk about Cadillacs and airplanes and all that nonsense. All that's going to burn up one day. I'm talking about eternal things.
Amen.
Spiritual blessings.
Yes,
peace that passeth all understanding. And you look and you see what peace and tranquility is in heaven. And you know what you're dealing with down there on the job, down there in your home, down there in the community. And you say, "Lord, I need some of that right there down there." You know what I believe he'll do if you're looking at him and talking to him just right? He'll say, "Send one of them angels." The Bible says in Hebrews, he made all of his angels ministering spirits for us. That's enough right there to take a 10-minute smile break. All of the angels of God are standing ready to take care of me and you. Remember what Jesus said? Said I could call 12 legions and they'll come take me off this cross. There were 12 legions standing there ready at his... How many is standing ready to go help Logan Buchanan? How many is standing there ready to help your church? And he's saying, "Boy, if they just crawl up in my lap." But the problem is, I don't know nothing about your church. Been there twice or three times. But if your church is like mine and my people, someone's here. We come to church and we say, we're going to open the bread. We're going to get some bread from God. And we open the Bible and we sit there and we yawn and we're thinking about the ball game and we're thinking about what we need to do tomorrow and what's going on down on the job.
You're right.
And the dishes need washing. I wish that preacher had hurried. Don't he know that the dishes are piled up and the laundry's falling in the floor? Amen. Can I stop right there and say something right there? There was a lady I worked with said this to me, and boy, it's been good advice. She said, "My first marriage busted up because of dirty socks." She said, "He wouldn't pick them up, and I wouldn't either. And it caused a conflict."
Yep.
And she said, "I look back on it now, and I thought, how foolish."
That's right.
After the divorce court. How foolish. What difference does it make who picks up the socks? Just pick up the stupid socks.
Yep.
Amen. Ladies, is it really worth fussing about? Men, is it really worth fussing about? Amen. Trying to help us in our relationship. See, you can't have a relationship right with God and be out of sorts with your spouse.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Earl Sanders dead and in heaven now. He told me one day, we went up there to get some pews. Brother Thebe was with us. Brother John Fortin and different ones went with us, and we went up there, and we were sitting there that day, and I said, Brother Earl, our precious man of God, older, a whole lot older than me, I said, give me something. Every time I get around an older man of God, I said, give me something. Tell me, give me some advice. Give me some wisdom. He said, I went into churches. He said, I've got up to preach. And he said, the deacon board was upset with me and wouldn't even speak to me. And God had touched me and let me preach. He said, I went in. He said, I went in. And he said, some of the people in the church was upset because I preached something that morning or the other day. And they was upset with me. And he said, God had put his hand on me to preach. But he said, I went in a time or two and me and my wife out of sorts. And said, she's sitting on the pew. And he said, I'd get up to preach and God would say, you can't have the Spirit of God till you get things right with her. Amen. I think that's good logic, don't you? And we need to fellowship with one another and get closer to one another. That's what church is all about, the way you fellowship. The early church continued daily in fellowship, breaking bread house to house. Now you pull in somebody's house and they turn the lights off and pretend they ain't home. Ain't that right? But the early church, they loved one another and they wanted to be around each other. I believe that's a sign of a good, healthy church. When they want to stand around and fellowship with one another and talk with one another. I remember when I was here in the Bible a few months ago and after the service it seemed like everybody just kept hanging around. And I thought, I debated one of the preachers. I said, Lord God, I said, if we didn't know business hanging around like this, we could just have another message. Amen. Thank God. But everybody's just fellowshipping and loving one another and talking to one another. That's what it's about. But I'm trying to get you not to just fellowship with one another. That's good. But the Bible says Mary has chosen the good part. She's at his feet. She's worshiping him. She's on high ground. Now, she don't look like high ground. Looks to me like she's in a low place. From the natural eye. But Jesus said, no. She's in a place that ain't going to be taken away from her. She's in a spiritual place. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we could get the people of God, just a handful of them, to come up on the mountain with God? To go a little farther with the Lord. To realize there's more to it than having a salvation ticket. Waiting on the rapture to come get us out of here. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we had a relationship with God in such a way that we would talk to Him and sit in fellowship with Him? I tell you this, and I'm done. I was in O team one morning at work. I was in my work vehicle, headed to a job site, and I come out of the parking lot at Bojangles in O team. And I started to pray as I pulled out on 70 and headed towards Swannanoa. I started to pray and I felt Holy Ghost get in the vehicle with me. And I thought, I'm going to enjoy this. And I got to fellowshipping with him and I made it to the first red light to that sorry, trashy telephone went ding, ding. And somebody had left me a voicemail. Now I'm driving in fellowship with him. I'm praying and driving. I mean, God's helping me. And I looked down at that telephone, and when I did, the Holy Ghost was grieved and gone. You know what he said that morning? If you'd rather see what they're doing, see what I'm doing, go talk to them. And I spent the next day begging him, Lord, I want to feel your presence. I want to come back. I apologize. I don't know how often I apologize to him. And it took me a long time before he come back and passed by that way again. I'll tell you what I do now, though. If that phone dings, thank God, and I'm talking to him, I don't care if it's 911 and town's burning down. Amen. And you can tell the boss I said so. There's a bigger boss I'm on the phone with. Amen. And I've been praying. I pulled in on a job site one day, coming down Sweden Creek Road, started up in the fire up toward on Fairview Road up down there off Sweden Creek, going up toward Home Depot. I had a job site up there, and I started up through there, and God got in the car with me coming down Sweden Creek Road. Now some of you are gonna think I'm crazy, but if you ain't ever experienced what I'm talking about, just hang on. Come up on the mountain, you can have it. I was just talking to him, and I mean, his presence was in the vehicle. And I mean, an overwhelming presence. All I could do was say glory and cry. And I mean, I was slinging snot all over the windshield and tears running, dripping off my face. And I pulled into the job site, and there was an old man running a track hoe. And I just sat there. I forget everything. I'm here, and we'll get out in a minute, but right now, God's here. Amen. We'll get back to work in a minute. God's here. Are you listening to me? And finally, after about 15 minutes, me sitting there just sobbing and worshiping the Lord, that old man, I guess, thought somebody in my family had died.
And he come easing over there to the car. And he knocked on the window. And I didn't even realize he was there until he knocked. And I just hit the power button window and it went down. And I said, "Glory to God." He said, "You're all right. I see you." You know that old man had no sense to leave God alone? Amen. And I sat there for another 5 or 10 minutes and just worshiped the Lord and fellowship with him. Got out and went and done my job. Now, you can't do that if you're not in relationship with him, talking to him. I wish I could brag about more times that I've had that, Brother Logan. But it's been a limited number of times. I'm not trying to preach to you that I'm super spiritual. I'm not. Amen. But I've been in his presence enough to know I want to get in his presence again. Amen. And if he's got something for me, that boy of mine would get in my lap and he'd say, "Daddy," sometimes they wanted something. Sometimes he didn't want nothing. He just lays his head over on me. And I think about this, he'll soon be 25 years old, Brother Logan. Breaks my heart to see him grown. He'd lay his head over on me and he'd look up at me and he'd say, "I love you." Hallelujah. And you know what I done? In my mind, I thought, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night and I ain't going to get up and go get nothing tonight. But tomorrow when I go by the dollar store, I'm going to stop and get me a candy bar. And when ain't nobody around, I'm going to slip him a piece of that because I like hear him tell. I want to bless him because he blessed me. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll get in your prayer place and start blessing God, he'll start blessing you. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. Oh my. Brother Logan, come on. I'm done. I've wobbled around enough. I'm glad, thank God, that I'm saved tonight. I'm glad there's a place. Jesus said, the Lord said, God said to Moses, "There's a place by me. And if you'll get in that place, I'll pass by and I'll let you see me." Now, I want you to notice where Moses was at. He was in the presence of God in the tabernacle. When he was talking to God, and he got to telling God, "This ain't close enough. This ain't close enough. I've been past the altar. I've been past the laver. I've been in the holy place where the candlestick. I was there when you told me the plan on how to make it. But this ain't close enough. I want to see your glory. I want to get into the holy of holies," is what he was saying. He said, "No man can look on me and live. But I'm going to make a place for you if you'll get in it. There's a cleft in the rock. If you'll get in it, I'm going to make a point of passing by." Could it be that the Lord's getting ready to pass by and he's wondering if you're going to get in the cleft? You're going to wonder if you're going to get in that place to where he told you to get? This message is not just for preachers tonight. It's for all of us. There's a place by him. Scoot up close to him. Married couple, scoot up close to him. Join hand in hand and pray together. Love one another. Amen. Let him be the head of your... Quit arguing about, "Well, I'm the head, you're the head." Quit arguing about that. And say, "Lord, you're the head. And I'm going to follow my husband as he follows you." Amen. And it'll be peace. Those spiritual blessings will flow because you're lining up with him. Huh? Ain't that right? What a blessing. I appreciate you letting me come, Brother Logan, and be with you tonight. Thank God. There's a place by him. He's wanting to give you stuff. Spiritual stuff. Peace. Joy. Feeling of the Holy Ghost. I know that's people get scared when Baptists start talking about that. But I'm telling you, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, I'm saved. I'm sealed. That's right. But you like me, you leak. You need another filling. Amen. We need to be filled with the Spirit, don't we? Be not drunk with wine where is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Get full of Him. Scoot up close to Him. The only way you can stay drunk is to keep drinking. The moment you stop drinking, you start to sober up. That is right. I'm talking about the naturals. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a continual process. It ain't just I'm going to get a couple verses in the morning. Oh, I want something more than that. I want something more than a verse in the morning, a verse in the evening, and a little prayer time over a bologna sandwich. I want to get in His presence. I want to scoot up close to Him, and I want to feel Him put His arm around me and say, "I love you." And I can look up at Him and say, "I love you too." Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Logan, for letting me preach.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just stand all over the house.
Oh my.